So if you want to follow along, we're going to go quickly through the rest of the fourth canto. So the next section is called Pritu Katha. And Pritu is the Shaktyavesh avatar, an empowered incarnation. And there are so many details, but because of time, we cannot get into it. So after the Pritu Katha, there is the story of the Prachetas. And in that story of the Prachetas is a very nice chapter called Shiva Gita. There's Bhagavad Gita, there's Uddhava Gita, Gopi Gita, and Shiva Gita. And what is the Shiva Gita? Lord Shiva worshiping Lord Narayan. Very nice description. And Lord Shiva describes Lord Narayan in great detail and teaches the Prachetas how they too should worship Lord Narayan. Everybody say that name. So that's the Shiva Gita. Then the next section is called Puranjan Katha. So the Prachetas, they were the sons of this great king Prachini Barhishat. And Narada, who appears throughout Bhagavatam. Narada is there all over Bhagavatam. He's coming. Prabhupada says Narada is the most important acharya in our disciplic succession. Because his preaching, Narada is called the Bhakti Shakta incarnation. He is also a Shaktyavesh avatar. What's he empowered with? Devotional service. Specifically, preaching. And myself, I like Narada Muni. Why do I like Narada Muni? He goes here, he goes there. He doesn't need an airplane. He just goes at will. Oh, wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you love to go to India tomorrow? Just go, let's go. That's what Narada can do. No restrictions. No TSA patting him down and all that nonsense. No. He can fly. He can go to heaven. He can go to hell. He can go to the spiritual world. No check. Narada. Oh, I imitate Narada in my RAV4. I go here, I go there. But can't actually compete with Narada. So, Narada wanted to deliver this king Prachini Barhishat because he was too much entangled in karmakanda activities. And so he wanted to deliver him. So Narada told the story of King Prachini Barhishat, but didn't tell him directly to his face that you're a nonsense, you're an ignorance. Instead, he told Kek Prachini Barhishat's story and used this story of King Puranjan. But actually, it was the story of King Prachini Barhishat. And it's very detailed. And by his preaching, he was able to get King Prachini Barhishat out of Maya. Because that's the whole goal of preaching. Preaching means you pull somebody out of Maya and you get them into Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness begins with hearing and chanting. Always remember, Lord Chaitanya stresses this, that although there are 9 processes of devotional service, the first two are the fundamental. They're the basics. And without the first two, don't think about doing the other 7. Especially in Kali Yuga, you have to do the first two. Sravana Kirtana. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Everybody is hearing and chanting. They turn on the radio. Maybe they hear some sports station or some political station. But that's not what hearing and chanting is. Hearing and chanting is Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, hearing and chanting the science of God. And then the fourth canto finishes up with going back to the Prachetas and how Narada instructs them. Now, the third and fourth cantos was a conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. So, in the fourth canto, the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya finishes up. Those who came to the first two nights, you've heard me say, Bhagavatam is a conversation within a conversation within a conversation within a conversation. And so it's nice to know who's speaking. So Maitreya has finished answering the questions of Vidura. So now we go to Canto 5. If you're ready, say, Hare Krishna. All right. Now, Canto 5 is very peculiar. And I'll explain to you why. As we say, back in the day, when the fifth canto came out, because Prabhupada was writing Bhagavatam, and the publishing was lagging behind. So Prabhupada had finished the fifth canto, and it came out in 1975. And when the devotees got the fifth canto, some of them became very bewildered. And some of them left the movement, because in the fifth canto, there is some startling information that doesn't tally with what we learn in Western slaughterhouse educational institutions. There are some really radical things, which we're not going to get into. Not at this one. Maybe at a future. But suffice it to say, for some devotees back then when the fifth canto came out, it was rough for some of them. Fortunately, I don't have a big brain. So whatever Prabhupada wrote in fifth canto, I just accepted. It didn't bother me. It was like, sure, okay, I accept. But some very educated and big brains, they were trying to reconcile how can this be how, and they had a problem. All right, before going to fifth canto, please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So here in fifth canto, I've broken it out. The first section is the story of Maharaj Priyavrata. Then we have the story of Lord Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev is another incarnation of Krishna. He's Vasudeva. And then after the narration of Rishabhdev, we come to the story of Bharat. So this one I will speak a little bit. So Bharat, King Rishabhdev, he's God, he had 100 sons. And the eldest of his sons was Bharat. And this planet Earth is named after this Bharat. It's called Bharata Varsha. Especially India, right? You say Mother Bharat, right? It's named after this son of Rishabhdev, Bharat. He was the eldest of the 100 sons. And I always like to point out, there's a certain religious group, and they take great pride that they worship the Son of God, which is fine. But we say he's not the only Son of God, because Bharat was the son of Rishabhdev, and Rishabhdev is God. And we know from Krishna Leela that Krishna had only, how many? 16,108 wives. That's all. And each wife had 10 sons and one daughter. And each of those 10 sons had 10 sons. So those 10 sons of the 16,108 wives, they're also sons of God. So God, Prabhupada explains, God is omnipotent. Why? He only has one son. He has unlimited sons. That's just a side point. So let's go to the story of Bharat. So Bharat, at a young age, he decided he was going to renounce the kingdom, go to the forest, and do penances and austerities, and he was going to worship God. And he went to a holy place called Pula Ashram. And that Pula Ashram is where you get the Shalagram Shilas there. And so he was worshiping with a certain mantra, a Gayatri mantra, worshiping God in the sun, Surya Narayan. And Maharaj Bharat, he became so advanced in spiritual consciousness, he was this close to perfection. He was almost at the level of perfection. That's how powerful was his devotional service. But then, all of a sudden, he became attached to a little deer. And devotees, they're compassionate. So this deer would stay around Bharat, and Bharat would take care of the deer, and he was just like some of you may have a little doggy in the house, right? And I know many people, they treat doggy just as one of their own children. Sometimes we see in Hollyweird, they leave the will to the dog. Millions of dollars to Poochie Maharaj. So, in the same way that someone might become attached to their cats and dogs, Bharat became attached to this deer. And he became so attached that he started to neglect his spiritual activities. Because even you're this close to perfection, you still have to continue your spiritual practices. When I announced in the beginning the invocation, Lord Chaitanya had achieved perfection in chanting. But what did his guru say? Go on chanting. Not that, oh, you've achieved perfection, you can go to Disneyland. No, he didn't say that. He said, you've achieved perfection now. Go on chanting in the association of devotees. And you should preach the value of Hari Nam. Not that you've achieved perfection and I'm done. Right? No. Not like you get a diploma, right? You graduate from college and then you put the diploma on your wall. I'm done. I'm out of here. No. Not in spiritual life. Even in perfection, you're actually just starting to spiritual life. So, that was Bharat's mistake. He was this close, but his spiritual activity started to slacken. So Prabhupada warns all of us in this section, do not become slack. You don't reduce. Even though you may be getting advanced, you don't cut back. You continue. You increase. You keep up your spiritual regimen. You keep on chanting. What? So, Bharat was becoming more and more attached to the deer, and he was slackening off his spiritual practices. So much so that when Bharat was giving up his body, what was he thinking of? The deer. And those of us who know Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, those two very important verses, Krishna says, if you think of me at the time of death, you come to me. But Krishna says, but if you think of something else, that is going to be your next life. So Bharat, even though this close, because he was thinking of the deer at the time of death, he took his next birth as a deer. Oh, what a sad, sad state. But Krishna is not cruel. Krishna is merciful. Because he was attached to the deer, Krishna had to teach Bharata a lesson. So he took birth as a deer, but he had remembrance, he had cognizance of who he was and why he had the body of a deer. Normally that doesn't happen. If somebody becomes very sinful and they take a low birth, they don't remember. They just take that low birth and they lose higher consciousness. But in the case of Bharat, he had full understanding. Oh no, I have become a deer. What an idiot. So he said, okay, this time I'm not taking any chances. So as a deer, he took birth as a deer in this holy place. So he wouldn't go out with the other deer. He would stay close to the rishis and the sages at the holy place. Because he was constantly aware, I have this body of a deer because I misused my free will. I'm not going to make that mistake again. So after one life as a deer, Bharat now took birth as the son of a Brahmin. And he was known as Judha Bharat. And the reason he was called Judha Bharat is because now, again, he knows now that this is his third birth. He knows he used to be Bharat, son of God. He knows that he has been a deer. Now in this third birth, again, determination. He's determined. This life is the last one. I'm going to do it. I should have done it in that first life. Now here's my third chance. This time, no mistakes. So he decided that he would not take part in any kind of materialistic activity. He kept himself dull. He kept himself, you could say, and I don't want to say the word retarded, but he behaved in such a way that he wouldn't have any social intercourse. So his mother and father, his father tried to teach him how to act like a Brahmin, but Judha Bharat was not interested. All he knew was, in this life, I'm going to just be attached to Krishna. I'm not taking any chances. I'm not going to get caught up. And so he was more or less rejected and he was cast aside. So one day, these dacoits came and they saw this Judha Bharat and they thought, oh, he's not even a human being. He's like an animal. We will take him and we'll offer him to Goddess Kali. And so they tied him up and they were going to do a sacrifice and offer Judha Bharat to Goddess Kali. But Goddess Kali, she knew who this Judha Bharat was. And she could not tolerate what these dacoits were doing. So when they were about to sacrifice Judha Bharat, Goddess Kali came out of the deity and she cut off the heads of all the dacoits. And Goddess Kali had all her female assistants and they drank the blood of all the severed heads. That would make a great movie in 3D. And you could see the 3D. The head would be right there. Yes, the guy who did Avatar, he should contact me. I will give him some pointers how to do good movie. So, Juddabharat, after this, he was selected to carry the palanquin for this king, Rahugana. And then there was an opportunity for Juddabharat to preach to King Rahugana. And King Rahugana realized that this palanquin carrier was actually a very enlightened, self-realized soul. And so, in this way, he delivered King Rahugana. And yes, after three lives, Bharat made it home back to Godhead. Bharat Maharaj ki. Alright, then, the next part of this fifth canto, the descendants of King Priyavrata, and the glories of Maharaj Gaya, who's a great devotee. So now we get to the controversy. Here's the sections where people have difficulty adjusting what they learned in college or high school because it doesn't tally with what Bhagavatam says. And there's lots of this. And even I myself, I find reading this section, it's over my head. That's why I'm not going to go into detail. Other devotees, they may be able to explain, but I'm a very simple, uneducated devotee. So I'm just going to go through what's here. So next section is the structure of the universe. And then within that, there are these different varshas. And in each of these varshas, the residents, they offer prayers. So there's Lord Shiva meditating on Sankarshan. That's interesting. Lord Shiva does meditation, but he meditates on God, Sankarshan. Then there's Bhadrasva worships Hayashirsha. That's Krishna in the form of a horse head incarnation, golden. Then you have everybody's favorite, Prahlad. Prahlad worships Lord who? Nrsimha. Then there's this nice section. Lakshmi Devi worships Kamadev, Pradyumna. And her prayers are very interesting. That one we could get into, but not tonight. Some other time. Lakshmi Devi's prayers, quite heavy, what Lakshmi Devi says. Then we have Vaibhaspata Manu worships Lord Fish. And Aryama worships Lord Tortoise. And Mother Earth worships Lord Boar. That's normal. Why? Because we heard last night when Hiranyaksha forced the earth to fall to the bottom of the Garbhadak ocean, it was Lord Boar who scooped up the earth with his tusks. So there is a connection between Mother Earth and Lord Boar. So she worships Baraha. Then Hanumanji worships Ramachandra. Everybody say. And then we have Narada Muni. He worships Nara Narayan. Everybody say. Then this next section. I've actually done classes on this next section. Demigods praise human birth. I've done several classes on this over the years. When you read this section, the demigods admit that we are here in the heavenly planets and we are enjoying heavenly sense gratification. But you know what? We know that one day it's all going to be finished. We will have to leave our... It's like how many people, like it's summertime, you're going to go on vacations, right? But after the vacation, back to the grind. So the demigods, it's like being on vacation. You can enjoy in the heavenly planets for some time. So they all know they are one point have to going to take birth on earth again. And even Krishna, when we get Sunday, if you come to Meenakshi's house on Sunday, we're going to hear from the Uddhava Gita, where Krishna says, this is what happens. You're a demigod flying in heaven on your own airplane. And in the heavenly planets, when you're riding in your airplane, you have these beautiful maidens chanting your glories. Nirantara, Nirantara. You probably goes to your head. Yes. One time, many, many years ago, I met an old female acquaintance. So she asked me, what's all about this chanting? What? I don't get it. So I said, I'll prove it to you. Her name was Nancy. I said, Nancy, I will show you what is chanting. So I told her, sit in this chair. And then I sat at her feet and I went, Nancy, Nancy, Nancy. She got what is chanting. She understood. Yes. That is what is chanting. You're crying out, calling out, Krishna, everybody, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Not like this, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. No. You have to do it with feeling, right? Like Prabhupada says, like a child crying for its mother. Or say you're hungry. I'm hungry, I need, please. You call out. So chanting is like that. You call out. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So the demigods, they say, actually we want to take birth as human beings because as human beings, you can do devotional service. You can do sankirtan. So what we're doing tonight, the demigods wish they could be doing. So you are more special than all the demigods because you are doing sankirtan. Give yourselves a hand. Yes. So then it continues with the different islands. And then there's a section about the movements of the sun. And the orbits of the planets, and then the pole star, Dhruva, the pole star. And then, another interesting section, the subterranean heavenly planets. The subterranean heavenly planets are actually better than the heavenly planets because they have uninterrupted sense gratification. Uninterrupted. Demigods, their sense gratification is sometimes interrupted. But on these lower planets, they enjoy sense gratification 24/7. And then, there is the final section of the fifth canto, hell. Yes. This chapter, the final chapter of this fifth canto, Shukadeva Goswami gives you a guided tour to hell. So you can really, and it's very graphic. You commit this sin, and you're going to get this punishment. Yes, he doesn't hold anything back. And in this way, the fifth canto ends. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.